this is Mark Landau. I'll be talking about the potential that we actually have to bring about a miracle revolution in our politics, in our country, in the world, and to really do something about the massive problems that we're facing and we all know about and we're bombarded with every day. And you're listening to the Dr. Sky Show.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the exciting show that you tell us you like so much, the Dr. Sky Show. A more than 10-year tradition here around the world and beyond as we continue to discuss with great guests the realms of mostly science in astronomy, space, aviation, and weather, with celebrity guests in the mix, and also, ladies and gentlemen, all about personal health, well-being, and mental health. And today, a most exciting interview as we talk with Mark Landau about something, ladies and gentlemen, that I think is just so overpowering and much needed in the world. Mark Landau says the problems surrounding us today are enormous. Man-made climate disruption escalates. The corruption of our democracy is nearly complete. We edge closer to nuclear terrorism and war. We are ruled by money, and we must face these facts, he says. Those who deny them have their heads in the sand, and those who don't recoil, self-medicate, and entertain them away. Unless enough of us get behind doing something about them, they will likely reach their logical end. Landau says there's still hope, and we can turn the ship in a better direction, but the time to act is now. And he joins us, ladies and gentlemen, on our very special program here, the Dr. Sky Show. After devoting a lifetime to healing and awakening himself and others, utilizing therapy, transcendental, and other meditations, energy, bodywork, 12-step programs, rebirthing, shamanic journey, soul retrieval, DNA activation, sacred spirit healing, and esoteric Hindu, Vedic, Buddhist, Christian, Jewish, Hawaiian, Native American practices. He's here, ladies and gentlemen, to speak with us about something so powerful as Mark Landau is going to be talking about the miracle revolution. Mark, thank you for taking time out of your schedule today. It's an honor to have you here. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, thank you. You know, this is something, folks, that you may wonder and scratch your head at times. We talk, Mark, on this particular program with cosmologists about the origin and theories of how the universe was created. We've had many, many great guests here, and I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to say my dedication to trying to understand more about what the critical thinking is of how human beings came to think. What is thinking? What is consciousness? And what are all these different things that are intertwined? But you're bridging the gap, in my opinion, by trying to bring some useful solutions to a world I don't think I need to remind the audience out there. I'm in full accordance with you. That seems to be way off track. So describe to us some of your background, because I want people in this interview to know that you obviously worked with one of the most amazing men, in this whole concept. I'd like you to go on and just tell us a little bit about your background and the man who you describe in so much of your writings, who kind of navigated you to this path today.
Well, this, of course, was a very long time ago. But the man is the same man who navigated Deepak Chopra and someone named John Gray, who wrote all of the Men Are From Mars books and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
And he was the Beatles guru or teacher and the founder of Transcendental Meditation,
wow,
which probably many of you have heard about.
Yes.
And back in the late 60s, early 70s, millions and millions of people all around the world were practicing his meditation. And I worked very closely with him. I was his personal assistant. I worked with him for 5 years and learned quite a lot. But there was also a problem with him, you know, as there is with many of the old ancient wisdom traditions. They have wonderful knowledge, but they also have become corrupted.
Wow.
And so, you know, he was a wonderful person. We learned a tremendous amount from him. But I also learned, you know, things about how not to do it and things about how, you know, even the best of wisdom traditions can become corrupted as we, you know, come to the end of a 5,000-year patriarchal age.
Very interesting. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us on the Dr. Sky Show, Mark Landau spent a lifetime in a subject that he continues to talk about and advise people. And throughout this interview, you'll be hearing ways that you yourself can get involved by not only visiting his website, but so many wonderful books and so many ways that he believes, and I certainly believe him, and I'm sure you will, ladies and gentlemen, full without doubt and hesitation as we continue this interview. Would you not say that Mahesh's pretty much summation message might be this, to rid the world of all unhappiness and discontent? Is that a fair to accurate statement from you, Mark?
That was his goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a pretty lofty goal.
Yes.
And a lot of us who were with him at the time, you know, believed that we really could help the human race. And a lot of scientific research has been done that proves that, you know, regular meditation can indeed, you know, reduce stress and reduce disease and balance out one's thinking and give a person deeper inner peace and, you know, all of those things. But, you know, in some ways, he was a master showman.
Yes,
a master businessman, and there are aspects to him, you know, that were wonderful and pointing in the right direction, but also were, you know, kind of getting in the way of what he was trying to accomplish.
Very interesting, Mark, and I want you to share with this audience something that I've read, and I think it's very fair to say that's an excellent response. Back in May of 2012, a New York Times article came out, as you know, stating that several Earth scientists had discovered more heat at the center of the Earth than expected, and their theories couldn't account for it. And you emailed them, and I think in tongue-in-cheek, this is very interesting, this is your response as if you had shared in the Nobel Peace Prize involved in this particular subject. So talk a little bit about that, because I think it goes very deep, not only into the Earth's core, but he talks about our eternal flame, and this is in a response to what you had written, of course, and the main message in I Love You and Forgive You. Please talk about that.
Okay, well, this is a surprise. I wasn't expecting to be asked about that.
Okay.
Because this is something that, you know, scientists don't believe, and something that, you know, I have from my own personal experience.
Yes.
But I believe that, you know, there's so much pressure and so much gravity and so much concentration at the core of our planet,
mm-hmm.
that instead of, you know, a molten core of liquid iron, which is what most people believe, I think, is at the center of the Earth.
Correct.
I believe that it actually breaks down the material to plasma, which is what the sun is made of. That there's a tiny eternal star, if you will,
mm-hmm.
at the center of our planet, and that is what is causing the heat that the scientists can't explain that was discovered in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And that I did email those scientists about, and of course I never heard back from them.
Well, what a shame that you never heard back, because, see, there's more to it than the empirical data. And again, I'll criticize science, and you don't have to agree or disagree, but as our guests jump in, of course, as you would and want a response, if at all. But sometimes science, in my opinion, just looks at empirical numbers on a piece of paper. And just from my world, Mark, when I study astronomy, very few astronomers are actually looking through the telescope. They're basically just analyzing data. And what I find so fascinating here, and the good reason to have you here, and it's a very good reason to have you here, as you write, our hearts, souls, and psyches are more important than our bodies. And we'll go on to what you say, meditation nourishes, cleanses, and clears them better than anything. So your response to this particular news article is very prolific. And were you surprised that you didn't get a response, or you kind of thought that you wouldn't because it's not in the same genre as maybe numbers on a piece of paper to show results or, you know, what kind of a research project was done? What say you?
No, I was not surprised. It's really, I would have been surprised to have heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first time that I emailed scientists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they hear from numerous people, and they have their own track, and they have their own training, and they have their own mindsets, and Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. But along these lines, I mean, there's so many amazing things in science. Mm-hmm. And in your field, you know, the just the fact that most scientists do accept that our whole universe comes from a nearly infinitely small, nearly infinitely hot dot. You know, the tiniest, yes. Some people call it the singularity.
You bet.
You know, the tiniest, smallest, hottest, you know, dot imaginable, and our whole universe comes from that. And, you know, that in itself, to me, is a miracle, and there are many, you know, miracles in science like that. That that you know make us wonder about you know all the things that we believe in. I mean, we all come from a tiny dot, you know, and a slightly yes. larger dot, of course, the sperm and the egg, mm-hmm. And the mind-boggling complex programming of DNA, and you know the universe is a miraculous place.
Absolutely, and it's continuing to unravel right before our eyes when. And again, I want to get into your area of specialization, and I promise we'll do that because this is an important subject for people to think out of the box and not just empirical and science. But it's so sad that we see only 4% of the entire universe, so that makes me think, not only as a man of science, but a man who wants to learn more about spirituality and other mechanisms or other programs or other techniques so that I can expand my mind. Isn't that alone, Mark, just an amazing statement that we only see 4% of the entire universe, so there must be so much more in this 96% void, and you're trying to bring that to an awareness to people every day. So talk about the miracle revolution. Talk in summary, what is that, and what can people benefit from what you're describing here? It's a very, very interesting subject here about how to expand our consciousness and doing this concept, and I'm a newbie at this, in the field of transcendental meditation.
Okay, well, this is a very profound and deep question, and there are a lot of things that bring, you know, come to bear on this.
Yes.
So if I go on a little bit too long, just interrupt me.
No, please. You're the guest, and we want to hear this, so go ahead.
Okay. I think most, you know, anthropologists, scientists, people in the world can accept that, you know, the human race has lived through a number of ages, and the first one was the hunter-gatherer phase,
yes.
And the second one was the agricultural husbandry phase, and the third one I call the conquest-commerce phase, and it was a patriarchal phase. The you know agricultural era was more of a matriarchal time. And then, you know, the hunter-gatherer was a survival time. And we're coming to the end of the age of conquest and commerce, ruled by money, ruled by power, ruled by top-down control, ruled by people competing with each other instead of collaboration, you know, ruled by all of these different things that we're so familiar with and which are all kind of getting us into trouble now.
Yes, they are.
And at the end of an age, the qualities of that age kind of go berserk and go to extremes. So we have a situation on planet Earth right now where a very small number of people have concentrated and amassed almost all of the wealth. They own almost all of the corporations, and they control almost all of the media, and they have bought almost all of the politicians, mm-hmm. and this is the corruption that I'm talking about. And, you know, we have made money our God, and that's, you know, the extreme vector of what I also call the third chakra age. Mm-hmm. Because we do have these energy centers within us that are called chakras that the ancients of, you know, of the East have known about forever. And they each contain these different qualities. And the hunter-gatherer age was the first chakra age. Mm-hmm. And the agricultural age was the second chakra age, a more feminine age. And our recent age is a third chakra age, a solar plexus chakra age, which is about worldly power, about control, about money, about warfare, about antagonism, about competition, about division, about polarity, about all these things that have gripped our country and our world and are now destroying us.
Sounds like 2018, doesn't it?
Sounds like 2018, exactly where we are right now.
It's incredible.
And millions of us have been recognizing this and have been consciously working to try to help us move from the grip of the third chakra, the grip of this mentality, the grip of this programming, into a higher order level of functioning, which brings in the fourth and the fifth chakras. And this could be an age where decency, sanctity, understanding, collaboration, working together, fairness, justice, all of these things could replace, belligerence, control, manipulation, corruption, all of the things that we're facing now. And of course, I haven't even begun to talk about the environment. And we really are looking at something critical when we talk about the environment. So perhaps I should take a moment of rest and have you say something at this time.
No. You're right on measure. And believe me, sir, that's why we have great guests here. And again, let me say this, as you're a smart man, not every guest or listener, will agree with this, and we don't expect that. But I'm saying from my perspective, my mission here, and I'm saying this to the audience, Mark, is to be an open mind, to expand my horizons, because, hey, I'm just a failed and frailed human being myself that needs some sort of redemption, and I'm certainly recognizing how to move from the plane that I'm in. It's not horrible, and this isn't all about me. It's that, how do I recognize the problems that I have? I can only speak for myself. What am I willing to do about it? And this goes beyond just going to see doctors and be treated with pharmaceuticals. We're talking about the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I love this quote that's in your quote section, whether this is your regulated quote or not. I quote, "Greed does not self-regulate," end of quote. And what's so interesting here is that we talk about this, and I say it prolifically, and I'm not here to pontificate to the audience this particular measure or method. I'm saying, today, Mark, it's so imperative that people seem to make money, but I said it this way, if money's your God, you're my enemy, and I don't mean it in a violent way, it's just that, isn't that the case? And you're obviously testifying that money has seemingly replaced so many of the other important factors, and that in itself is very scary to me. Talk about that.
I will, but I do want to make sure we have time to get into some of the wonderful things occurring in the world that people should know about.
We surely do.
Greed does not self-regulate. That is my quote. I said that. I came up with that. And we have set up a system that has worked beautifully for us.
Yes.
I don't want to negate the power of the Industrial Revolution, of the Electronic Revolution, of commerce, of business, of the stock market, of all of these things. They have brought us very, very far. The explosion of science, all of these things, have taken us a long way. But now they have gotten out of control, and they are causing us more harm than good. And the system we have set up is, the corporations, the bottom line is, we make absolutely the most profit we can. And then we pay the people at the top the most that we possibly can. And this is the machine that drives us. Just like the war machine demands perpetual war, the corporate machine demands perpetual overbloat of, profit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There are all of these kind of different machines, juggernauts that we've created, and they're spinning us out of control. And we need to regain our sense of balance, our sense of propriety, our sense of decency, and we need to start to regulate the actions which are now harming us.
Very well said. And I want to make sure I get this in, Mark. Throughout the interview, you'll be hearing a direct link to Mark's website. And on this particular archive, there will be one. It's simply this, mark-landau, and that's spelled landau.com. And Mark, now's the time if you want to add anything else in there about how do people, of course, get in touch with you for good reason, as we talk more about reasons to get in touch with you. Tell us more about that.
Tell me how much time we have left.
Well, sir, we continue probably for another 10 minutes.
Okay, great. I'm offering a free cheat sheet, a free synopsis of my book. And if you go to my website, mark-landau.com, Mark Landau, mark-landau.com. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If you add your email address to my list there, or you email me if you don't want to add your email to my address, to my list, I will send you for free a 2-page synopsis of the book. And what it contains is some of the remarkable things that are bubbling up now that very few people know about. Because, you know, this is the breath of fresh air that's coming in with the new higher chakras as opposed to the old stale corruption that's hanging on, you know, to the old chakra.
Yes.
And, you know, just a few examples. There's a genius scientist in, of all places, Las Cruces, New Mexico, who developed a biomolecular miracle. It can supercharge the soil, any kind of soil, desert, grassland, you know, depleted agricultural soil, and it increases agricultural production 5 times. It makes the bees healthy, and it sucks the carbon out of the atmosphere and puts it back in the soil where it belongs.
Wow, that's
There's
powerful.
Another genius scientist who just died from Santa Fe, New Mexico,
mm-hmm.
who discovered a molecule that enhances intelligence and memory, and it was suppressed by our government. They didn't want that produced and made available to the citizens of the United States.
Wow.
There's
Great
a woman
problem.
Named Michelle Alexander who uncovered this kind of hidden legal matrix that creates a permanent undercast of Americans. And she also made clear how Portugal solved their drug problem, whereas our war on drugs just exacerbates it. And, you know, there's a very effective giant tool that we have at our disposal whereby we can effectively take back our democracy, create a true democracy, and take our country back. And all of these things and more are in my book. Mm-hmm. And I write about them a little bit in this 2-page cheat sheet, which
is
on my website. I'll send to you.
No, that's very kind, and I think that's good because we're in very turbulent times right now. And you have statements in here under the quote section, and here's another one that I think, and again, I'm not anti-religious, Mark, nor am I a practicing person of any. I'm a Christian by my beliefs, but I quote what you said, "Religions are man-made substitutes for the real thing, the direct relationship of one soul with God," end of quote. How powerful, because right or wrong, and I live here, let's say, in Arizona, down the street is a church, Mark, a Christian church. They must have 800 or 900 cars in that parking lot every Sunday, and I'm not disparaging them. I think if that's what people want and they think that, you know, communal religion is a good thing, but I think what I'm reading here, and I've always believed it, that your ability to communicate with God in whatever interpretation you have is still the most powerful thing, and not this community-organized effort that's man-made. And please continue, because it's your quote.
Okay, this age has been an age of giving away your power. And we give away our power to, you know, in all kinds of ways, to the politicians, to the bankers, and to the clergy, and to the different religions. And yes. There's a tremendous amount of community and truth and beauty in religion. You know, there's a tremendous amount of wisdom. But, you know, the first age was the age of magic, and the second age was the age of myth, and the third age is the age of religion. And these have all been there to help us as crutches, because we have lost our real connection with the divine, our true connection with God. And we all have the capability of reforging that connection. And I believe that, you know, as we evolve as a human race, we will regain our power, we will regain our wisdom, and we will regain our direct connection with God.
Well said, Mark. We have a few more minutes, and I wanted to jump into this. For the average layperson out there who's listening to this interview and said, I've heard of TM, Transcendental Meditation, I want you to give us a quick look-see. I know this is very difficult, maybe sometimes, for such a complex and such a wonderful experience. But I'm also told, and I've known some military people, that the military now, today, U.S. military and other militaries, are actually employing the techniques of Transcendental Meditation to help people with PTSD. But give us, the first part is, I would like you to add, just describe to us, give us the concept of Transcendental Meditation. What does one go through? What are some of the steps? What's that experience like?
Well, this is where there's a problem with Transcendental Meditation.
Okay.
And it helped many people, but Transcendental Meditation is a kind of covert Hindu devotional practice.
Okay.
And the mantras are code names or seed names. Traditionally, they're called Bija mantras, which means seed. Hmm. And they're seed or code names of Hindu goddesses. And when you learn TM, you go through a religious ritual called a puja, where you're giving homage and worship and devotion to the what's called the holy tradition, the line of teachers that goes back to the Hindu deities. And, you know, Maharishi trained all of the TM teachers to tell people that, you know, the mantras were meaningless sounds geared to your nervous system, to the particular nervous system of the individual. Right. But they are, you know, they are code mantras. They are seed mantras of Hindu goddesses, and they're given out solely on the basis of age, how old the person is. And it's still a wonderful meditation in some ways. And, you know, if a person didn't mind, there's nothing wrong with doing Hindu devotional practices, just like there's nothing wrong with doing Christian devotional practices. But I believe a person should know what they're doing and not be misled.
Totally
so
understand.
A new meditation came to me in 2012 that has, you know, I believe is a meditation more for our time. It's not embedded in religious practices. Mm-hmm. And I have written several books about it. It's called The Love and Forgiveness Meditation.
No, it sounds wonderful. And let me just remind everybody listening to this radio archive here. By the way, folks, if you're a regular listener, we're here for 10 years or more. It guarantees us nothing, but I want to do a big shout-out to our flagship radio station, that is KTAR News 92.3 FM in Phoenix, all the stations around America. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our producer, Richard Dugan. He's at radio station KZSB, that's AM 1290, in beautiful Santa Barbara, California. We've got a few more minutes, but I wanted to ask you this in closing, not only to give a summation, but your new critical book, A New American Revolution, Mark Landau, of course, our special guest. Go to his website, Mark-Landau, that's LANDAU.com, to get what he's describing. He'll send you something in an email that I think is the first step of many steps. But Mark, I wanted to ask to just describe this. I know this is a very deep subject. I had a lot of experience with Apollo astronaut as a friend, Edgar Mitchell, who described out-of-body experiences. He was part of the Noetic Institute. The concept of consciousness and I, we would sit and talk all the time about this. It would probably take years to explain it. But from your perspective, talk about the study of consciousness. Does anybody even have a clue of what consciousness really is? Describe it from your perspective.
I will. And again, science hasn't quite come to this yet. But I believe a Jesuit biologist philosopher named Teilhard de Chardin, mm-hmm. you know, knew centuries ago what consciousness was better than anyone, you know, yet so far almost, except for those of us who understand it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that consciousness is the basic holon, some people use that word, or the basic constituent of creation. We know that energy and matter are equal. You know, Einstein taught us that, all matter is really made of energy. Teilhard understood that consciousness exists at every level of creation, not just in the animals and in the humans. And it's different at different levels of creation, but it's a constituent part and the most basic foundation of everything. So not only is matter made of energy, all matter is really made of energy and equals energy and is nothing but energy, but both energy and matter are really made of consciousness, and everything is consciousness, and ultimately, you know, nothing but consciousness. Of course, there's solid matter, there's rock, there are atom bombs, there are all of these things, but consciousness itself is a basic part of it all. And as we evolve up through the chain of, you know, the animal life, you know, from the single-celled animal to the human being and beyond, you know, the consciousness takes on different forms and becomes self-aware, and we can study consciousness as a conscious being made of consciousness.
You know, Mark, I wish we had more time. I'm going to ask you to come back because there's one thing, maybe this is out of your purview or realm, but when we study what the yogi talked about in so many ways, the Mahesh, there's also the concept of levitation. And I know this is maybe not in your direct area of expertise. Maybe it is. But to me, that's even fascinating in itself, that there's a possibility, out there in the spiritual world or even in the science world, that individuals could levitate. And I wonder what you have to say quickly on that. I mean, that's totally bizarre, if not amazing, from the science side.
Okay, well, first of all, The Transcendental Meditation practice had an advanced city program that promoted levitation, and it said that it taught you how to levitate, but I want to tell you right now that really no one in the TM movement ever levitated.
Interesting.
At the same time, I want to say that there is potential for all kinds of things that, you know, we have heard about and read about and that we have within us. And yes, I would say that one of those potentials, you know, could be levitation. It could be, you know, bilocation. It could be, what do they call it, teleportation.
Yes.
You know, there are all these possibilities that exist, you know. And, you know, before, what was it called, the spooky, you know, what Einstein called the spooky influence of something, you know, too far away to be influenced in the universe.
Absolutely.
You know, we could blink our eyes and we could appear on the other side of the universe.
Teleportation through quantum physics, a fascinating subject. Mark Landau, you're a great guest. I want to thank you for being here. It's Mark Landau, The Miracle Revolution. There's also a book that we're talking about here in some subsets, A New American Evolution. Mark Landau, his website, mark-landau, landau.com. Mark, if you'd stand by as we go to the bottom of the hour break here, we'd like to chat with you just for a moment off air. But that concludes this exciting edition of the Dr. Sky Show, a 10-year or more archive guaranteeing us nothing, but we stay on measure with the great subjects and great guests from the realms of science first, astronomy, space, aviation, and weather, with celebrity guests in the mix, and health, nutrition, and all other things like we're talking about today, the Miracle Revolution with Mark Landau. Thank you, Mark, for being our guest. And Dr. Sky reminds everyone, I'm sure Mark would agree, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. Thank you, Mark Landau.
Thank you.